Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. There's a lot of interesting things going on in our country right now. And I read an article a few days ago about a cure, a drug that they're coming out with that supposedly cures fear. Now, I know. That sounds like a great thing. I mean, they used this example of somebody being afraid of spiders and taking a drug called propranolol, which is a very common drug at this point. It's used for heart disease and people who have problems with controlling their heart rate. But they found in this study that if you take it and you expose someone to something that they're afraid of, that over time you will decrease the body's response to the fear. So in other words, you know, you make something called acetylcholine, epinephrine, you know, your fight or flight hormone or neurotransmitter. And if you take this medication, you lower that production. So basically, by the end of the study, people could play with spiders, have them walk on them and all sorts of things, and they wouldn't be afraid of them anymore. And my first thought was, you know, fear is a good thing. Fear keeps you out of trouble. Because you have something innate within you that says, don't do this, don't go there. What happens when you lose that? What does that do? First of all, I don't want to be anywhere near spiders. Second of all, snakes or anything else. But how could this really be used down the road against you? Think about that for a second. As soon as you start trying to control someone's brain, trying to control somebody's feelings, then I can perceive that this would be used against you in some bigger way. You know, fear of the government's gone, fear of, that's one major thing, but it's essentially, it'll be used to control you at some point. And when that happens, and you make a bunch of mind-controlled zombies, robots, who don't protect themselves, who don't have a sense of, an innate sense of, this is not good for me, in whatever mode it is. I mean, it may be for your job, for your personal safety. You know, I don't have a fear I need to get rid of my gun because I don't have a fear of anything. You name it. It can be used down the road to control you. And what happens to just, you know, whatever God made, however made God made you, that's how you should be. And that's good enough. Why does it have to be manipulated? I mean, there's the same article in the Times or the same Times section talking about how shame is basically a good thing. Can it be useful? And we're seeing this every day with people being shamed about having an opinion about something and being shut down because somebody's telling you should feel bad about yourself. I mean, this is all out in the open now. With the fact that we're just being completely manipulated by society, by what has changed in terms of societal norms. What was normal 10, 15 years ago is not now, and vice versa. I don't know, Dave, but I was watching the Super Bowl, not Super Bowl, but the, you know, the playoff games over the weekend. And on Fox, there was this incessant commercial for this new show called Lucifer. I don't know if you saw it. Man, was that, I mean, you just almost want to turn, well, obviously you turn it off, but it just gave you just a bad taste in your mouth that up is down is up, and Lucifer now is a good guy fighting crime. I mean, are you kidding me? This, parents really, really need to watch what's going on with their children. Hell, we all need to watch what's being thrown at us and being termed as normal. Seriously, this is it's not even funny anymore that someone would come up with a concept and just turn it completely upside down. Christian values be damned, pretty much. And it becomes entertainment. Anything that you can make as entertainment now is fair game. And the Family Channel is now called Freeform. And I looked at they put a commercial on for one of their shows, and it is just the most anti-family, children out of control. That's the new norm. That's Freeform, I guess. But it's now completely out in the open. It's no longer incremental. It's just all in. And the best thing we can do for ourselves is to, as I say many, many times, is to control the pocketbook. If you don't watch it, if you don't buy it, if you don't endorse it, it goes away. They just think you're stupid enough to just keep doing it, give them money, watch it just for the, you know, the shock value of it. But you're literally putting money in the coffers of these people who think so little of you, who think that you're just a pawn, that you're less than human, that you're just there to useless eaters used to make them richer or whatever they can throw at you. And as long as we sit here and passively take it, it's only going to get worse. If this is another, in my opinion, of the threshold, if they're able to get away with this and the show becomes popular, trust and believe there'll be many, 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 many more of this type of entertainment coming on the, you know, on the TV airwaves.
I'm always amazed at what becomes popular, like The Walking Dead. I've only seen a clip or two of it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to watch that stupid show. I have no desire to watch that. But, you know, why is it popular? And why would people, well, one, as I grow older and older, I use television only as a tool for me, not for what I'm watching. Mm-hmm. It's brainless, and I can lay there or sit there and be somewhat entertained, sort of, but I don't have to do anything. And you know, maybe it's 30 minutes, maybe it's an hour, but beyond that, that's about all I can go. And the football games, I must say, I did watch because I enjoy it. But
it's entertainment on a different level.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, well, it's still, you know, how many times have you heard about games being fixed and people, tennis, for example, now where there's betting going on to such a degree that some of the players have been throwing games. It's all one big bread and circus. I don't care if it's, I mean, you have to know, you pick your poison, but you go in there eyes wide open. This is not really what it represents. I'm just being entertained for the hour that I'm watching it or two or whatever, but it's not life. People who end up fighting and killing each other because your team didn't win, there is something wrong with that picture. Do they put food on your table? Do they educate your children? If those things, if it doesn't make you, you know, spiritually whole, then you need to take a step back from whatever it is and not get so upset about it, not let it lead your life. You know, whoever wins American Idol, that's just, you know, you're just overcome by your person not winning the American Idol. It's not normal. It's just this relinquishing of humanity and being out there and living your life. It's all vicarious all of a sudden. You know, you're either love a video game or you're living that. People dying in their homes because they've spent hours playing a video game without getting up, without going to the bathroom. I mean, it's an addiction. And it is. And it goes with everything, whether it's food, whether it's TV, whether it's sports. And there's nothing wrong with watching sports, nothing wrong with playing video games. It's how you approach it. If you are online for days on end to see Star Wars, I mean, people lined up for like 2 weeks ahead of that thing. It's a movie. Who cares?
I haven't seen the first one yet.
I think I saw the first one maybe about 10 years after it came out, you know, but I'm not standing online for 2 weeks. If I had a job, you won't have a job anymore. Well, maybe these guys don't have a job, but shouldn't you be upset that you don't have a job instead of trying to see the next Star Wars movie, which is going to come on video anyway, which will be playing for the next X number of months? You have to be the first to see it. It's just this, and it's not so much instant gratification. That's one thing. But it's the vigor with which people are approaching things. But when it comes down to politics or something that really affects your quality of life, you don't care. Or you're, let someone else do it, it doesn't matter. But if it's a game or a movie, man, you're all over it. But you can't tell who the first president of the United States was, or who, you know, who your congressperson is. What law has passed recently? You know, what's going on with the economy? It's completely in free fall. It's just because they tell you it's okay doesn't mean it's true. They seem to have this magical thinking thing where if I say it's some way, then it's some way. You know, everybody's at each other's throats. The crime rate's going through the roof. Guns are a problem. And they never give you the other side of it. What about I remember the story about somebody in, I guess it was Waffle House, and he was a concealed carry gentleman. two robbers come in. The guy pulls on them. They, and cowards that they are, ran out of the Waffle House, but they were ready to do harm to these people. But it took a citizen to stand up and fix the problem. And no one talks about Gabrielle Giffords either. And there was a concealed carry guy in that crowd who probably saved her life. Nobody mentions that.
Well, there was an incident this weekend where two guys walked into a barbershop in New York, I believe it was, and or Brooklyn, and one of the barbers had a weapon on him, and instead of being shot and his clients and people in the barbershop being shot, the perpetrator, one was killed and one got away. But, you know, what would have happened if the barber hadn't had a weapon?
It would have been a free-for-all.
Yeah, and, you know, they don't publicize these stories that much.
And there are a lot more of those.
Oh, yeah.
Or down here, like it was last weekend or a week and a half ago, people home invaded this gentleman, came into his house, beat him up in his own house, and he actually took care of business, got both of the of them. But if it hadn't been him, he would have been the first step, and it would have been an ongoing domino effect. And how many other people are going to be hurt? Even the police are now changing their mindset and their tone. They're telling people, citizens, to arm themselves. They know they can't get there for everybody.
Well, even at the best, 4 minutes. How much can happen in 4 minutes?
A lot.
A lot.
And that's a good number. I mean, I'm not sure that's the case if you're out in the rural area or even in a city when there's traffic. There isn't time for the cop to get there. And unfortunately, sometimes the people who call are getting shot too. If you live in Chicago, I may not want to call a cop since that seems to be a really you're taking your life in your hands, whether you're the person that called or the perpetrator. And that there's a problem, you know, it's as if there's absolutely no respect on either side. Fires have been stoked beyond control, and there's no reality check going on. And if there is, it's never publicized. It's only the worst case scenario. So everybody thinks that's the norm. And I mean, there's statistics now that the gun violence has actually gone down. The crime rate in large cities is less than it is, but it's not what you would think if you watch the news every night.
You know, I have an alarm system, and it went off at 2 o'clock in the morning. This was 5 or 6 years ago. And the cop that came to the house, my company called him, and I said, well, it's in the basement. You know, I don't know, but go ahead and let's have the cops come out and we'll check. And the cop told me, he said, nobody's going to break into your house when you have the signs out. They can look in your windows and see that your system's armed. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, he said, you're not working with dummies. They figure in this neighborhood, you probably have weapons. If they're going to break in, they're going to break in broad daylight. They're not going to come in the middle of the night. When you're here, they know you're here. They're going to come when they think you're at work or gone. Mm-hmm. That's the safest time. So, you know, it's a situation that you have to address. And I think everybody should be armed, just like our little town, Kennesaw.
Yeah, you never hear a peep
out
of Kennesaw. I don't hear any statistics. It's never on the news. I mean, that should be your town that people actually use for the template and to dismiss and dismantle this meme that guns are the problem. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, we were having a little free form here, but I just wanted to go back to the article in the Times. It's in the Sunday, I think it's in the Sunday Review, where they talked about shame. Can shame be useful? And there was an interesting line about it, which I thought speaks a lot to political correctness. They found that study participants who were vulnerable to experiencing shame were less inclined to engage in corrective actions when they believed their mistakes were not fixable, such as when they had no opportunity to apologize to someone they'd offended. So basically, all this political correctness does not encourage somebody to engage in conversation. Just encourages them to shut up and stop, which is supposed to be about you know, you engage in conversation to speak with each other, to find out where you have common points at. That's really what social discourse should be. But what this does, it shames the person. They shut up. They don't engage. They have no interest, or they're afraid because they don't think there's a way to solve the problem. And that's the way it makes it sound. When you hear all the rhetoric, the hate that's going on from both sides, but, you know, from the liberal side, every woman, every minority is a victim. You did it to them as a white person. You're evil. I mean, it's just such hyperbole on the rhetoric. Why would anybody want to discuss anything at this point? Because either you're a perpetual victim without, there's no redress. You've just been victimized from the time you were in utero by a white person, whether or not they were in this country, not they had anything to do with it, whether they're liberal. And this is what's really funny now. The liberals are getting blowback from their own rhetoric, which I love. This whole Academy Award nonsense is part of this problem. So you have the people who vote for the Academy. This is so sick, actually. Let's break it down because it's just ridiculous. The people who are in the Academy who've been there for ages because they were actors, they were executives, whatever it was they voted in, they're now really pissed off because they're being called racist because there are not enough black nominees. But their redress for this is to get rid of anybody who hasn't, in the last 10 years, if you haven't been active, you get kicked out. But what it does overall is it decreases the amount of black representation. Because if you haven't voted, if you haven't been in a movie, if you haven't really been a part of it, you're taken out of it. There's very few black people in the last 10 years, right? I mean, you can name them on your hand. You have to have been, this is what it is, you have to have been nominated for something in order to vote. Well, how you can name many black people on your hand that's been nominated? About five? So basically, they're the only ones that's still going to be in the system. So you've just lowered the amount of black people in the Academy. You've demonize people who have basically, you know, whether they're racist, who cares? They're voting, they're in it. They've met the criteria to become members. Changing it after the fact and getting rid of the people who really are not A-listers. That's what they're basically doing. Anybody who's in the movie industry, it's a big industry, whether you're a part of the back end of it, part of the executive, or somebody who's on the front line, an A-lister. Everybody's important. You're basically removing a majority of the people who are silent and contributing and actually have value. They're all being removed arbitrarily because of this stupid system. And it's run by a black woman, which tops it off. The president of the Academy is a black woman. I'm just done. People making $40 million a movie just because they weren't nominated. When the world is going to hell, who gives a damn? I mean, this should be one of those... Well, let's not go to any of your movies anymore. I mean, let's vote again with your pocketbook. If the world is going to hell in a handbasket, people are being killed, people are being abused, women are under attack in Europe, especially Germany, and you don't make any comment about that. There's no, let's shine a light on this problem. That's not a problem. Whether or not you get nominated, whether your $40 million movie, which sucked, is still nominated just because you're black. Talk about ridiculous. Now you're supposed to be nominated just because of the color of your skin, not because of the value of the movie. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Was it all blacks that made the black stars famous? Or if they did a good movie, how many of those people that went to see the good movie were white?
Exactly.
You know, it's...
Well,
where's the logic?
There isn't. It's just one... It's just so short-sighted, and it's knee-jerk, and it's because someone's telling you how you should think based on what you look like. And Chris Rock's brother, he's the host of the show, is black. So he goes on some sort of tirade about how white people are the problem, and you know what? I'm sitting here thinking, it's white people who gave your brother money. That's the people who really are just as much fan of this guy as a black person. If they stopped coming to your movie, I don't think he'd make as much money as he is now. So, you know, let's cut your nose off to spite your face just because you have some sort of axe to grind, or someone tells you you should have an axe to grind. But you're part of the 1%. That's what this whole thing is, just doesn't make a lot of logical sense. You're sitting in the best universities in the country. You're whining about how you're a victim. What about the 98% of the people out there, 99% who will never go to college, who are smart but didn't have the leg up that you had? Why can't you get a job and then help those people, right? Open up your own company and hire people after the fact. Wouldn't that help people more than getting free tuition or whatever the stupid or better or more authentic ethnic food, or not having, you know, not being able to wear, was it a taco party or whatever? You can't have that because that's offensive. I'm done. You know, just, I'm really done with that. I would love someone to come up to my face and tell me any of this because I would nail them.
What would happen if we had a wet channel? A WET, white entertainment television. You know, it's just all, it's at the point. What else do these, when I say these people, it's not blacks, it's
liberals,
some group out there,
but it's arbitrary.
You couldn't give them enough.
No, it's not true, because they're perpetual victims. I don't care if it's a women's group, black group, Muslim, everybody's been separated into these ghettos emotionally, physically. And this is interesting too. I mean, I'm from New York, it's supposed to be one of the most liberal cities in the country, right? It's a mosaic. People didn't interact with each other. Moving into Georgia, you see more interaction between ethnic groups and races here than you do in New York. People stay in their own neighborhoods. They may work together, but when it comes down to having fun and socializing, it's completely separate. You go back to Queens, you go back to Brooklyn, you go back to your own environment. You don't interact with anybody. And that's completely different down here.
I had a secretary when I first moved here that had just moved down from New York. And she couldn't understand why the whites had such a problem with blacks. And she had grown up, and she got on an elevator with a black and had a panic attack. Because she had never, and there were no blacks in her community in
New
York.
She's from New York?
Yeah, upstate. And, you know, okay. It was like she had a panic attack because she didn't know what to do because a black had gotten on the elevator. And it was only her and whoever the lady, man, who, I don't know. But, you know, and it's understanding. And it's, like you said, there's more, there's always been inner reaction in the South. There had to be. You couldn't get along without it.
True.
You know? And that doesn't mean everybody's equal or everybody thinks alike or anything else, but
it's tolerance.
Have to, yeah.
You know, it's very interesting. As soon as you start to interact with somebody one-on-one and you're no longer a part of a group, but you're an individual, it's usually a different reaction. And it's usually a good one. I mean, nothing's perfect. This is not, you know, everything's sweetness and light. There's bad history in our country, but it's history. And I think as long as you keep pulling it up and keep pulling the scab off the wound and making it seem as if nothing has changed, as if it's still in the same position it was, you know, in the 50s, in the 40s, it's not. You've got a government that is completely diverse. You've had white people who have elected a black president twice. It wasn't black people that did it. It was white people. You can't, and it's just, it's obnoxious, and it's wrong to say that nothing's changed in the country. All white people are evil. They took it from black people. There is no, I think there should be personal responsibility. Everybody has, I'd rather live here than any other place in the world. This is the only place you can actually have something, a skill, something that you can make somebody want and actually thrive. If you can market it, you can actually become very successful. I can't think of another country that it works that way.
And you know, too, you can't take history and say it's today. You can't take the 1860s and say we live in the 1860s in slavery. That's history. That's it, period. You can improve on history. You can take a lesson from history, but we're not living in the 1860s.
No. I mean, and we've had redress from a legislative perspective. You know, it's been abolished. You're not, well, now we're debt slaves, right? So we're not slaves in the classic sense anymore. But everybody's on this hook. And, you know, we need to look at what's happening to all of us. All of this mindset about everybody needs to go to college. And everybody doesn't need to go to college. And even if you do go to college, are you really getting an education or are you getting an indoctrination? And when you come out, are you getting a job? Are you in debt, hocked up to your eyeballs? And I don't care if you're going to a liberal arts college or one of the ones that train you for a profession, whether medical assistant, you know, what is it called, electrician, whatever it is. Unless you're coming out with an actual job, you're coming out in debt. And I've seen these stories where they come in with, maybe they have a $10,000 loan. By the time they get out, it's like $50,000. The interest compounds. They can never pay it back. There's something really wrong about a majority of the country being in debt. Not a small percentage anymore. I mean, the student loan debt is crazy. The college, you know, the cost of college is crazy.
Oh, beyond... But that's also, and you've talked about it many, many times, that's control.
Sure.
They got you, you're so far in debt. You remember the Tennessee Ernie song, I Owe My Soul to the Company Store?
Yeah.
That's exactly, I owe my soul to the government store, you know?
And whether it's your mortgage, whether it's your student loan, whether it's your, gosh, your credit card debt. I mean, they want you on the hook for something. I don't think that people should be all happy about SNAP or EBT cards or anything that the government's giving you. It always comes with strings attached. I don't care what it is.
Long strings.
Big, huge strings that you'll never get out of. And emotional strings. I mean, the fact that you owe your existence to the government. They pay for everything for you. You don't have to work. They'll just give it to you. What happens when they pull it away? What happens when those EBT cards turn? Well, I think it happened at one point where they didn't work and people couldn't access their money. Can you imagine if a third of our country is on some sort of government assistance? If that fails in any way for any length of time, what would happen to the country?
The dominoes. It'll
Absolutely.
Affect everybody. The domino effect. And this is the thing. Everybody's so ecstatic about the lower oil prices and gas being cheap. Well, they don't realize the other side of the coin.
Jobs are lost.
Oh, millions. Millions. And not that oil should be $100 a barrel, but the drilling people, the oil people, they have to make money too.
Oh, we've seen it. I've heard that North Dakota... I mean, the unemployment rate has gone through the roof, and it's a ripple effect. These are the people who buy. People who have money, buy. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, this show is awesome because I don't have to be on any kind of psychiatrist couch. I just get to come every week and just put it out there. My blood pressure is really low when I leave here. You know that, Dave?
I got to ask you something. We were talking about the movies and kids playing video games and this and that and so forth. I know, as we were talking about, I had the wonderful vision, and I'll tell you in a second, but you just said the coming here helped you relax and lower your blood pressure. What's the other, what, have you got anything in your mind that everybody should see once, or everybody should, what in your life, like maybe it's walking on the beach on the island, or do you have something that, oh, in your life has struck you to the point that, oh yeah, that's my whatever, that's my aspirin, or that's my, you know, you were talking about the drug that they came out with.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think there's two things for me. One is God, a relationship with God, which, you know, on a personal level, and I don't talk about myself personally, but when my mom and dad passed away, that was the relationship that became important once again. You know, you live your life, you're going through things, you're just removed from what's really important. That put me back on a position or in a path that was very centering, and I'm not leaving it. You know, that's, it's empowering in its own right. And the other is the ability to take care of myself, the movement towards self-sufficiency. If you are prepared, you don't fear anything or anybody. Nobody's got control over me. Only God has control over me. And ultimately, if I make sure that I handle my business, whether that means preparing with, making sure you have enough food, enough water, making sure that you're economically prepared, that you can get yourself out of debt as much as you possibly can, save money, look at the long picture, the long haul. It's going to have to be you. If you can't sit back in yourself honestly and say, if, you know, the power went out tomorrow, I could still survive. If you can't say that, then you need to start working towards that. And once you take control of your own life, your own ability to center yourself and handle your business, it doesn't involve the government, doesn't involve your spouse, doesn't involve your friends or your family, but you, you have to be empowered yourself. That's the thing that changed for me, that I found that what was important wasn't what they were telling me what was important. It was, I need to be able to protect myself, my family, my future. And it's not, you know, getting all involved with the Oscars doing. It's not being involved with the political rhetoric and getting into the left and right paradigm or the liberal conservative paradigm. It's all the same. And if you take a step back and start really thinking about what's best for you, not what you're told is best for you. I don't subscribe to being part of a group. I'm an individual. I don't fall into the tribalism of I'm a woman or I'm a black person. I need to be a Democrat. I need to think a certain way, whether or not it's against my interest. I need to go along and get along. Maybe if more people didn't do that, we'd be in a lot better shape. Because ultimately, everybody wants the same thing. Nobody wants to hurt anybody. Nobody wants to impose their will on anybody. They just want to go to work, do a great job, love what they do, go home, be with their family, die comfortably in their bed at a very old age, not in a warm house or apartment, safely. Everybody wants the same thing. If you didn't have to spend all of your time and effort, instead of looking inward, blaming somebody else for what you didn't do or for what bad choice, we all make bad choices, but you need to own up to them and stop doing the same thing and expect a different result. That's what empowers me. And that's what gives me the sense of, well, let them fight amongst themselves. Let me just educate people who are willing and able to look beyond that and empower them to do what I did. Do your research. Go to websites. Start looking about things that you feel uncomfortable with. Because by reading and understanding and going deeper, that's how you stop being uncomfortable. And when you can stop being fearful, then you stop being led by the nose. They love fear. Fear is what drives everything. We're afraid of the other. We're afraid we're going to be attacked. We're afraid that, you know, somehow someone's going to take something from us. But unless you have the ability to protect yourself and know exactly what's real and what's not, you're really just a sucker. Hope that's a long answer to your question.
Well, you know, I was very fortunate growing up where I did. A lot of folks might take exception to that or say I'm nuts, which probably am, but
in a good way.
You know, where I would escape and where I would have my most, and still do, and I pictured it, and I can picture it now, I can picture it tomorrow. And that was that where I grew up, we had the most beautiful sunrises in the world, and we had the most beautiful sunsets in the world. And they would last forever, you know. Mm-hmm. There was nothing like being out at 5:30 in the morning, and there'd be this just the barest of pink glows in the east as the sun was coming up, and then you could watch it and as close as you could with God at that point, and then it was just as nice ending the day and watching the sunset maybe from 8:30 to 9:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very restful, very thoughtful time, and I. When I get in a thoughtful mood or I need to escape, well, that's my escape. And
I think that's nature. That's definitely something. It's perfection, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can just step away from your mind for 10 minutes a day, just don't think about anything. Just go inward and listen to your own inner voice instead of all this noise coming at you. It just never stops. Put your phone down. That's another thing. Everybody's so caught up in being important with how many texts, how many friends they have on Facebook. All these things are outside of us. They don't matter. Yeah, I mean, your friends and family matter. But being accessible 24 hours a day is stressful. I just did this thing on the weekend where I went to, it's Qigong, which is a Chinese energy medicine. And it was a seminar on how to handle stress and what your body does when it's under stress. And what you are, what you think. So if you're ultimately always caught up with, I have to pay this bill, somebody doesn't like me, or whatever it is that's bothering you, hormonally, your stress hormones are on 24 hours a day. And what they do is they make you literally, they make you sick. The cortisol level rises, the insulin level rises, you become fat. I mean, especially around the center. Inflammation triggers rise, so you're in pain all the time. It's just a self-feeding cycle. You have to stop it. And one of the ways you do it is, one, empty your mind. Two is get enough sleep, because that's actually how the body actually resets itself. So if you're up all times of the night, you know, checking your email and on the internet and getting into these chat rooms or these websites that just drive you nuts, and you look at the comments and it just makes you crazed, it's only serving this overall atmosphere of fear, anger, hatred. That actually affects everybody. That's an energy, frankly. And energy is what we are. Every cell, not to get esoteric for a minute, but every cell is a battery. It's an energy-producing entity, every single cell. The mitochondria is the thing that produces your energy. If that gets sapped, if the cell is overworked, dies early, becomes a cancer cell, all these things are driven by the energy that enters the system and how you interact with your outside world. It's gone from being a positive most of the time to being absolutely negative. Every time you watch, I don't even watch the news so much anymore, and I will turn it off. If I'm reading something I know, you know what, there's no reason to turn this on. It's just going to be some hate filled. I just don't do it. Or I'll listen to music now. And it's a lot better. I'm much more efficiently able to let go negative things because I'm not letting it really interact with me anymore. I know it's happening, and I just turn it off. Nothing's going to change. You're still going to turn it on tomorrow and see the same crap. But you just have to take a step back from it. And again, what you can control in your own little world will make you less susceptible to all the negativity that's coming out. And if I think more people did that, we probably would have less negativity.
You know, I'm sure we've both known people that I had a good friend for many years that, but he had to be surrounded by people. He always, and Facebook, I can see, has replaced that. He's always surrounded by people because he's on Facebook and has 10 mm-hmm. jillion friends or whatever, or LinkedIn or whatever all these things are. You know, I learned a long time ago that I don't want to come across, I don't need anybody. I need myself first. and I'm very happy to be by myself. And if and there's so many people that can't stand being by themselves, it drives them nuts. They got to be doing something. They got to be with somebody. They got to have a crowd around them or whatever. And in my opinion, that just festers what you were talking about. And today, you throw in the PC, you throw in this, you throw in that, and it just adds to the frustration of the person that can't enjoy their own company.
It's social engineering. You know, that's what we're experiencing from the time that the children are little. We talked about this over, you know, in the past. Everybody has to get a trophy if they're playing a sport. Everybody needs a birthday present if they're going to a birthday party. There's no... You're always part of a whole. You can never be better than anybody else because you took it from somebody. That sets you up in a really weird mindset. You're special, but you feel less than at the same time. That is such a schizophrenic way to be. Either you think you're awesome or you don't. But you can't think you're awesome, but you're still a victim at the same time. We're dealing exactly with that right now. That is bipolar in a sense. So somebody always has to make you feel better about yourself, and it's always coming from outside. How many friends you have, all this bullying online. I just made a comment to a friend of mine. I'm like, how can anybody possibly be bullied online? Turn your computer off, change your name on your team, whatever your handle is. Back in the day, bullied was someone waiting for you after school to kick your butt. That was completely different. You couldn't really escape that. This is silly. Somebody calling you a name and your life is over? Really?
How about the girl that convinced her boyfriend to commit suicide the other day?
Oh, I didn't hear that one.
Oh, yeah. And now she was brought up on charges because they had it all on the communication, the texting back and forth. Well, if you're going to do it, go ahead and do it.
Wow. And he just did it?
Yeah. And now she's being charged, and yet... I'm like you. You're not going to text me to go shoot myself, and I'm not, you know, I wouldn't do it. I'd cut it off. I mean, that's
a different, it's like a disconnect between reality and this, you know, engineered and internet type of world. I mean, people are things on the internet that they can't be in real life. I mean, we have what's something called Second Life I've heard about, where you, I'm telling you, it's, you have a whole life. You can create a persona, avatar online. They have virtual money. They can be something like rock stars. It's completely different, completely from their different life, from their real life. And people live this way. This is kind of creepy.
Sick.
I mean, really? On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Again, I wish you guys could hear what goes on in the off-air conversations. But, you know, I wanted this to go back, Dave. You talked about, especially like the oil industry, and medicine, everything. If it's really like $30 a barrel right now, why are we paying $1.80 in Georgia? That's not a real rate either. It should be down to what? Maybe dollar a gallon?
Around a dollar.
Why isn't it?
Dollar ten.
And where does the money go? So someone's making some money, but it's not the people who are doing the producing, right? The oil workers are just like the doctors. They're the ones who are out there putting their body on the line, taking the risk, working 9 to God knows when, and they're the ones losing the job. Someone's making money on this.
It's sort of like, I don't generally get in too many arguments in the grocery store, but and this happened about, 10 or 12 years ago, maybe longer. But two ladies were at the dairy box getting a gallon of milk, and one of them was expressing her opinion towards farmers and why this gallon of milk was costing $2.39 or $2.49 or whatever it was at the time, and just was going on and on and on about the farmers and how the farmers are screwing everybody and it's just not fair. And as you know, my degree's in agriculture, and so I took as much as I could before I lit into her and said, you know, it's not the farmer, it's the middleman that's getting all the money. The farmer is up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, milking the cows, getting the milk out, taking all the risk if a cow dies or if this or that, and making sure that the cows are in the gestation period where they can produce milk. And I said, you know, I don't mind you griping about the price if you just knew what you were griping about.
Isn't that the way?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the same cookie cutter template of everything in society. I don't care who I'm talking to. It's the producers, the people who are actually the innovators, the people who are doing the work, who are out, you know, staying up at night, worrying about payroll. Those are now the people who are being demonized, where some middleman, some corporate entity, it's the same playbook. I don't care what the profession is all of a sudden. Medicine is the last domino. Maybe it'll happen to lawyers next. I don't know. But since they're running the show,
To a nicer group, could it?
No, I really wouldn't cry. Got to tell you the truth. But it's the same playbook. And as we as consumers, though, have power, this is all about figuring out what your power is and using it. Perfect example, medicine. Right now, we're in a position where they're bringing on the, the value-based payments, where it's all about outcome. And I read an article again. This is total scam 101. Affordable Care Act has something called accountable care organizations. They've now created something in New York where they're saying it's, you know, I guess it covers like 770,000 patients. And they're using it in terms of, you know, Spanish-speaking, Asian, the people on Medicaid, that particular cohort, and people who are on the fringe society, considered to be. They now have an accountable care organization for that group. They've created one. $1 billion goes into Medicaid in New York. So it's a lot of money. And they're now going to be paid based on outcome. But they can't really prove outcome because it's so huge. None of the doctors are really connected. They're all loosely connected in this ACA. But there'll be patients who no one's really following, but they potentially can make up reports that sound really good, and they'll end up making a lot of money because of it. So it's cronyism 101 again, based on we're helping minority groups and we love the minorities and we're all about, you know, improving outcomes, keeping them out of the, this is all about keeping you out of the hospital. So the numbers look good. Who knows, you know, maybe your diabetes is out of control, but if you don't go to the doctor, you don't get counted as an admission. So that's good doctoring, right? Or you're on 15 medications instead of getting you off of them, or having a real system where you can have the person go into a weight loss program, really wean them off of these medicines and actually prove that their diabetes is better. No, you didn't come to the doctor for the office visit. Or I got your numbers, but I'm just putting them into an algorithm. Here we go with population-based medicine. And if you're smart enough, you can make this work. It can be a huge Medicaid debacle, frankly, because it's going to cost somebody money. The doctors who are seeing the sicker patients who are not part of ACA, whose patients go to McDonald's or they're really sick and they get limbs cut off, they're the ones who are not going to get any payment based on the scam that these other doctors could potentially come up with. The bigger, the more hooked in you are into the Medicaid system, you make the numbers look good, you're going to get a payback for this. And the guy said, even the guy who started this, someone said, well, you know, you might actually make a lot of money from this. And he goes, well, yeah, but I really care about people. Yeah, okay, I care about them too when I'm making a couple billion. So then this, again, is a system where the government is setting up winners and losers. It's all based on numbers. It may not even be real numbers. And it's a joke.
If that guy cares so much, how much is he giving back to charity?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. He didn't say that part. It's all about providing medical services. But again, these medical services are, let's be frank, vaccines, lots and lots of medication, management through evidence-based medicine, where you're going to write as many scripts as you can possibly write, you know, manage people by telemedicine on the phone. Hopefully you never have to see them in the office, because that takes away your bottom line, because it's all based on the less you see, the more money you keep. The less services you use, the more money you keep. And now they're going to have all sorts of ways to jerry-rig the system so it looks good on paper. Come on, I know the deal. But the doctors who are really on the front line, who don't get paid, who barter, who, oh, you know, you don't have any money this week, I'll just wait and get paid. Those are the doctors who are going to be out of business. And they're going to be the ones that get called bad doctors because they give a damn. That's what people can look forward to in this accountable care system. Population-based, anybody who's really sick or a group who's really sick, costing the system a lot of money, they're going to be the ones that they really pay attention to, and not in a good way. So you're now getting paid, and we talked about it before, for end-of-life decisions. You're going to be talking to your patient about hospice, about, you know, how to make yourself comfortable because you're costing your family so much. They'll guilt you. You're going to cost your family so much money. Maybe you should think about just making yourself comfortable. Here we go. Okay, so Hippocratic oath be damned. If the people are still taking them, they certainly aren't the same Hippocratic. We talked about it. Their Hippocratic oath means you can perform euthanasia, you can perform abortion, you can basically help a patient die. That is not the Hippocratic oath that I took. It's do no harm. It's no abortifacients or anything you can do to perform an abortion. No pulling a plug on somebody. This is a completely different system. And again, if patients and people out there are not watching themselves, they're going to end up on the wrong side of this. I've seen so many people, I've heard about so many people dying, young people, seniors who've gone in, they look healthy and they're dead within a few days. This is just not a system that I really recognize anymore. And unless you keep yourself healthy, unless you make informed decisions about your health care from day one, that means you need to find a doctor, let's be frank, who's not in a hospital system. You know, I respect my colleagues. I understand why you might want to give up and give in and become part of the system, but I beg you to hold out, because once you do that, you're not going to be a doctor anymore. You're going to be part of a Borg hive, and you're not going to be practicing medicine. You're going to be protecting your flank, and they're going to come for you, and they're going to make sure that even if you wanted to leave, they're going to make it as painful as possible for you to do that. So the best thing is to never get involved. So in a nutshell, you have to take personal responsibility. You have to make conscious choices about what's best for you. I understand you want to protect your family, but you can protect them by not getting sick, you know, by making investments in basic necessities like a really good water filter that's going to take a lot of this crap out. Poor people in Michigan, I mean, they've been sucking in lead for God knows how long. Lead kills people. It makes children, it messes with their IQ. It's lifelong, and it's going to be passed genetically for generations, and through no fault of their own. But now that they know, there is no reason at all not to enter, if you have the means, to get your own system, to filter your own water. Or if you could, I would move out of the whole situation, to tell you the truth. That whole watershed area in Ohio and in Michigan, all that stuff is, remember that chemical spill a while back? They didn't really clean that. I'm not sure that they really did. So, I mean, it's, there's something else with a leak of, was it a wastewater? No, or I'm not sure if it's radioactive and there's some fire. You've heard about that. There's something going on up there as well, that they're watching the movement of this fire towards like a waste of nuclear waste or something. If that ever ignites, it's just, do your research, folks. It comes down to you. If you expect to get the real truth from the news media, from, you know, you turning on your TV, you can forget that. They're trying to indoctrinate you to hate each other, to sit back and let the government take care of you, and to demonize you if you have a question. If you have that little voice in the back of your mind saying something's not right, I don't know what it is, but it's not right, they want to shut that voice off. And I really encourage you, like I did, when I heard that voice, I started doing some research. And it's an eye-opening experience. Nobody can pull the wool over your eyes if you make an investment in your knowledge base. You know, listening to my show hopefully is part of that. But really, don't listen to just what I say. Go and do your research. You can go to my blog. I document everything I've ever written, so you can go back and read it yourself and go beyond that. If we all take responsibility for what we're doing and what we're thinking and our actions, I think we'd be a lot better off, frankly.
You know, it's a situation. Basically, what you're saying is get off your butt and do something.
In a nice way.
In a nice way. But that's, you know, it's get off your couch, do the research, get off your couch, exercise, mm-hmm. heaven forbid, even if it's just walking a mile a day, anything.
7 minutes, actually, of heavy duty, you know, get your heart rate up, is actually just as effective as an hour in the gym. So you don't have to do a lot of investment. You don't even need equipment. Get your heart rate up, jumping jacks, sit-ups.
Now,
you know,
how many people know what that is? Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I hope people know what jumping jacks are. But little things like that, you don't have to make a money investment. You don't have to join a gym. There's always, don't use the excuse of, I don't have the money or I don't have the time. If you have the time to play on the internet or the time to watch something stupid and get pissed off on TV, you've got 7 minutes, 12 minutes, half an hour to handle your business and take care of yourself. It's a really, there's no other investment that's more powerful than an investment in yourself. And your family. There's nothing that beats that. I don't care what anybody says, whatever the Hollywood set say, or, you know, someone telling you you're un-American because you actually have a brain. Forget about these people. They're the problem. They're not, they're sitting in their compounds that are protected by guns telling you you shouldn't have one. The hypocrisy is astounding. Just start calling them on it. They shut up. These are bullies, actually. The more you stand up to them, the less vocal they'll be, and we'll start winning once again. So you can catch my blog on drelanageorge.com. You can also check out my book, Big Medicine, The Cost of Corporate Control, and How Doctors and Patients Working Together Can Rebuild a Better System, on Amazon, Kindle, or on drelanageorge.com. And I thank you for listening. I will see you again next week, or hear from you again next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.